Welcome to Real People, Real Conversations, a platform for everyday people to share their experiences, hardships, and teachable moments. This podcast acts as a safe space for discussions surrounding grief, shame, vulnerability, and overcoming life's curveballs. My name is Sarah, and as your host, I hope that through our discussions, you are able to find comfort in knowing you're not alone. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Real People, Real Conversations. In this episode, I sit down with Nicole, who's a paramedic. She has been in a relationship that is abusive. She has lived to tell the tale, and she is speaking from her experience. As am I. We are speaking from our personal experience, what we've learned, what we've known to be true. So please, if you are listening and you can relate, reach out to someone. For us, the biggest thing was having someone we could reach out to, whether that was a friend, a family member, a physician. You know, there's always someone that will listen, even if you're not finding them the first, the second, the third time you share, you ask for help. Keep going, whether it is the cashier at the grocery store, whether it is the police, because you know you always want a paper trail when it comes to abuse. Reach out. Don't stop. Don't give up. Know that you are worthy, that you deserve to be loved, that you in no way, shape, or form deserve to be disrespected, abused, harassed. That is never okay, whether you are in a long-term relationship, whether it is a family member, a boss. That is abuse. Abuse is abuse, regardless of family ties or relationship. Okay, so as you listen, know that this podcast may be a trigger for some. Know that we do understand that when you leave an abusive relationship, that does not mean the abuse necessarily stops. I can speak firsthand on this. As I'm recording this right now, I'm still experiencing and dealing with the harassment that goes along with a fallout of a toxic relationship. So listen to your heart, listen to your intuition, ask for help, find a community to support you. Know that I see you, I support you, and I know you deserve to be loved. So listen to this podcast, take notes if you can relate to it or are sitting here thinking, oh my goodness, I wonder if this is what so-and-so is going through. Reach out to them. Be their support, because love is the highest power. Love rules all. Make sure that the love is pure. Support your friends, support your family. Anyone who is going through an abusive relationship, just being there for them is the most important. So enjoy this podcast, listen with an open heart, and again, take care of yourself. You are worthy. Hi, Nicole. Thank you so much for being here today.
Hello. Thanks so much for having me.
So you and I have talked in the past. We met through my energy healing sessions that I offered to you. And through that, we realized that we had quite a bit in common. And we had this amazing conversation and thought that maybe it would be an amazing thing to share with others what it is we've been through and how we can use our knowledge, not necessarily from a point of textbook theories, but through lived experiences, and how that could help someone else out there that may be listening today.
Absolutely.
Would you mind sharing a little bit about your life story and what it is we talked about previously?
Yeah, so it's funny because before I came and met you, I actually had no clue that we lived such similar journeys and paths. But yeah, so I previously was married. Got divorced. It was a 7-year relationship, and bless his soul, we ended totally on amicable terms. And it was, I left due to unresolved, childhood trauma. So I thought, okay, I need to spend this time and work on myself. And I instantly got scared and ended up into a toxic relationship. It wasn't the worst of all of them, but it still was not a healthy relationship. And that quickly ended, and I thought, okay, now I really need to spend this time on my own and, you know, work on myself and find self-love. And again, I found myself so scared and in need of any relationship. So I fell super fast for a man and ended up in a very toxic relationship. And it wasn't until afterwards that I realized, oh my gosh, I was just in a relationship with a narcissist.
Isn't it interesting how you went into codependent relationship after codependent relationship because of your trauma and how...
Totally.
And how strong the trauma from our childhood carries over into our adult life.
Totally. And I feel like so many people don't realize that because truthfully, when I was in these relationships, I had no clue that I was doing this based on my past traumas. Yeah. So it was this continuous cycle of toxic and bad and unhealthy relationships that I kept choosing because of my past that I had not dealt with.
Yeah.
So
it's almost as if your worth is what your worth is really what was compromised in your relationship.
Totally, because I didn't see it.
Because you didn't see it. And even being in a relationship that is a narcissistic one or a toxic one or just an unhealthy one, regardless of if there is abuse or not, if it's not in alignment with who you are, it's still an unhealthy relationship. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's really interesting to sit back from where we are now, looking back and speaking of our relationships and really realizing that we didn't even know what a toxic or an unhealthy relationship was. No one taught us that. It's not until we went through it that we really understood that it was a toxic relationship or a narcissistic relationship.
Absolutely.
So would you share a little bit about what it is to be in a narcissistic relationship or a toxic relationship? How did that look like for you?
Yeah. So as you said, it's funny because when you're in it, you totally don't realize because you get so sucked in. And one major red flag is right off the bat when you meet this person, you feel this like crazy connection. You just kind of like go full force into this relationship and you put everything into it. And it's so like hot and heavy. And that is what we call trauma bonding. And again, it's because you have two unhealed people that come together and it's so intense because they crave so much love and they need to be like told that they're worthy. So they find that within each other and it's wildly unhealthy. So for myself, I came into this relationship with him and I noticed right away that it was this crazy trauma bonding and it was so intense and it just kept progressing. And it started off simply with arguing all the time. And then it was over little things. It was over big things. And I saw these red flags, but I kept, as my therapist likes to say, I kept painting them white because I didn't want to see them. And so the arguing, and then it turned into him belittling me, and then it turns into name calling, and then it turns into fierce, fierce fighting. So these people that are narcissists, they lack empathy and they themselves lack self-confidence. So what they do is they take you down to build themselves up. So they are so insecure about themselves that they then crazy make and they want you to not feel good about yourself. And that is simply the life I was living. It was very much I was told every day my worthlessness. I was name called. It's very draining to say the least.
Yeah, it's like what I'm hearing is that it didn't start off really with really apparent red flags. It was a gradual build.
Totally. It got worse over time. And it's funny because I saw myself going down this path and I sold my house here in Kincardine, and anyone that knows me, I'm like born and raised, love Kincardine, said I would never leave. Mm-hmm. And I left all that behind and I built a house out of town with him that was over an hour away from my family, and I isolated myself. And again, that was such a red flag. And I was isolating myself from friends, family, coworkers, everyone. So now I'm in this house an hour and a half away from my family with just him and I, and the domestic abuse just went tenfold. Mm-hmm. So it is the most lonely feeling ever. I have truly never have felt so depressed and on my own as I did in those days in that relationship with him. Because as I said, you're isolated, but you're also made to feel like you're not worthy of anything, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah, it's amazing that when you're in it, because looking back and hearing you and seeing you speak about it now, you're like, oh my goodness, I can't believe I did that.
Yeah.
But when you were in it, what were some of the things that were going through your mind? Like, what made you move?
Yeah, so in my case, it was a little different. It was, my biggest thing was when I was crying every day. He would leave for work, and this is sad, but I would go and lay in my shower and cry. Mm-hmm. And I would cry in my bed, and like my days were just so sad. Yeah. And I remember he went to work one night, and I didn't even know if I believed in God at the time.
Yeah.
But I just remember praying and just being like, I need to get out of this situation. Yeah. Please help me to see the light.
Yeah.
And it was just realizing that I was in such a dark place, and I was like, whoa, I think it's my relationship.
Yeah.
You know, like, it wasn't making me happy, obviously. And our relationship, I was too scared to leave, and our relationship just kept getting worse and worse, and I was so afraid to be on my own. But then in my case, our relationship, it turned physical, and he put his hands on me, and that was my tipping point. Mm-hmm. Domestic abuse and verbal abuse is absolutely horrendous. It was something I went through for months and months and months, but that physical abuse was just my last. And that's when I came and told my family what had been going on for months. Again, I had kept this all a complete secret. I mean, they knew my relationship wasn't perfect, but they did not know to what extent. So when I disclosed that, bless my father, but he was like, you are done. You are leaving this house. And I made an action plan with my therapist. And because these relationships, with narcissists, you don't just get up and leave. You have to really figure this out. You have to know that this is a game for them. You have to kind of see it from all points of view. So, yeah, it was one of the hardest things I've ever had to do, because in my mind and in my heart, I still loved this man so, so much, which I can fully admit that is so twisted. It's so twisted to say, oh yeah, this man calls me this every day and he treats me like complete garbage, but man, do I love him, like fiercely love him. Yeah. So yeah, I had to sit him down and say, I'm leaving. And I packed up and I left that day.
Yeah. Do you think it took to the point of the physical abuse? Because abuse, you know, a lot of the times when we think of abuse or abusive relationships, we think of the physical aspect, but it's the mental, it's the psychological, it's the emotional abuse. There's so many more areas in which abuse occurs and how it can occur. Do you think it took you to the point of the physical abuse to realize that you're worthy of something better?
100%, which is so sad that it had to get to that point. But I just kept thinking, oh, I can take words, you know. But it's the moment that a man puts his hands on your body in a very negative way, that is when you go, whoa, 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 my worth.
Yeah.
Like, no.
It's what drives me nuts about society. I feel like as women too, we have to, like, we're almost programmed and conditioned to think that we almost deserve it. I don't want to say that, but it's like we look at society and how far we've come, and now we know. Right. Now we talk about these things, what an abusive relationship is, what types of abuse there are, and how a relationship can be not healthy, even if it looks healthy from the outside. But going back, like, men used to own women.
Oh my gosh.
And still, in some areas, in some families, in some societies and cultures, that's still the mentality. So it doesn't surprise me, as sad as that sounds, that women come and it takes the point of physical abuse, or how they still love that man. And you can love someone, just not what they're doing to you. Especially when I think you're aware of cycles of yourself and cycles of them, and that people tend to do what they've been taught to do. They've been conditioned and they're right. holding on to their trauma. We all are driven by our traumas in a sense. So to hear that your dad stepped in for you, I love that yeah. because he was giving you that example of a man and saying, no, oh this gosh. Is not okay. You are worthy.
For sure.
And to me, that is such a huge thing because as moms, we you know, but to hear that from a dad and say, oh, yeah. let and me it, help you.
It's so funny because my dad the other week was like, you put me on this pedestal that I don't deserve. But it's so true. And I always say, like, he totally sets the standard of how a man should treat a woman. But I just want to go back to that point about how women kind of accept this behavior mm-hmm. from men, because that's exactly why I want to share my story and yeah. use my voice and get this out there, is because along this journey of me opening up about, you know, what I put up with in this relationship, I have found so many women going through the same thing. Absolutely. And it needs to be put out there that they don't have to accept that behavior. Like, how long are we willing to stay with these men or women mm-hmm. to tolerate this kind of behavior? And I think women need to see, because when I was in it, I actually didn't know that this was normal. I thought it was my normal, but I didn't know that other people went through such forms of abuse. So it's so important for me to let other women know that, no, we don't have to stand for these not average, really crappy relationships, you know?
Absolutely. And I think we tend not to leave, even as just as humans, we tend to not leave relationships until we become so uncomfortable being uncomfortable that we then have no choice but to leave. Part of us is dying in a relationship, and it takes that point to actually leave. And it's not just in relationships, it's with jobs. Totally. You know, we don't leave that job until it's so uncomfortable being uncomfortable that right. we now have nothing else to do but leave right. because we are going into work crying, we're triggered, we're not happy to the point where we're crying all the way into work, crying all the way at home, crying at work.
Oh, yeah.
It gets to that point, and hopefully through this conversation, through this podcast, we can really allow other people to know that you are worthy, right. that it is not normal and it is not okay, and it is okay to end a cycle. Totally. To have the awareness of a cycle, because as you spoke about at the beginning, your relationships had a pattern, much like everyone. Everyone has these patterns and these cycles that are built on trauma. And when we become aware and educated mm-hmm. and do our inner work, we're able to stop that pattern and redirect yes. our life into a healthier version of alignment with ourselves.
That's right. And that is where the power sits, mm-hmm. is when you finally find your worth. Oh man, big things happen.
Huge, huge. I remember yeah. when I left, I was terrified.
Right.
Not of leaving, but of getting caught.
Wow.
Because I discovered my worth, and right. I knew that I was worthy of something that was healthier for me.
Totally.
And my fear, I remember sitting in the kitchen, just sliding down the cupboards, having an anxiety attack because I was so scared if I took this tote out to the vehicle that someone was going to rat on me, that someone was going to show up and stop me from leaving.
Wow.
And, you know, at that point in it, I didn't realize what was happening. But as I looked back, I'm like, because I awoke.
Totally.
And it's like, yes. women, when you awake, men, if you're in a relationship that's toxic, when you have that moment of awakening, find those people to help you. You got your dad, you got your family. Find someone that can be your cheerleader, because if you're in a relationship, don't think that you need to deal with it all alone. It's nothing to be ashamed of. It's nothing to feel guilty about. Reach out. You would be surprised how many people support you.
Absolutely.
And, you know, you and I had talked about how unfair it is, in a sense that we learn about all these different things in school, but we're not taught about what a narcissist is, what a narcissistic relationship looks like, what gaslighting looks like, all these tools that enhance our lives and really keep us safe. Right. And, you know, women don't just need to be educated, men need to be educated too. And so I think you had some points about what it is to be in a narcissistic relationship, what a narcissist is, and how to look out for them. So would you mind sharing just some of those points that you have on narcissists.
Absolutely. So it's also key to remember that narcissists aren't just people in relationships. They can be a parent, they can be a sibling, they can be a boss, a coworker, a friend. Like, they come in so many different forms. But for myself and my relationship, so they start off very charming at first, and you totally are so oblivious to the red flags. And then the second point is they hog the conversations, and they kind of talk about how great they are. And I really found that I was never asked questions about myself, and it's because they just care about themselves. Third, they feed off of your compliments. Fourth, and this is such a big one, and this is like the biggest stamp of what a narcissist is, and it's that they lack empathy. And as someone who is very empathetic to others, it was very interesting to be with someone who didn't understand what empathy was. They don't have many or any long-term friends. This is also a big one, is they pick on you constantly. That's the belittling, that's the name calling, that's throwing you under the bus in front of their family. That's a tough one. Number seven, they gaslight you. That is huge. Yeah. So to anyone who doesn't know what gaslighting is, it's a form of manipulation, and it is emotional abuse. And it's basically the hallmark of what a narcissist is. They constantly spew blatant lies. They falsely accuse you or others, and they spin the truth. And ultimately, they distort your reality, and they crazy make. They make you feel like you're the crazy one. And we've spoken about this, and I remember we both had this similarity of like, you questioned yourself so much because they have turned reality so much, and they truly make you feel like you were the crazy person and something is wrong with you.
Yeah, they totally make you question your sanity. I remember I shared this with you that I actually went into work. I was a nurse prior to doing what I do now, and I went into work and I turned to the nurses in the pod and one of the doctors, and I said, I think you need to give me a psychiatric evaluation, like something, because I think I'm crazy.
Right.
And they slammed their fist down. They're like, you are not crazy. You are being made to think you are crazy. And just that revelation was so huge. So huge. Yes, gaslighting is huge, and it's incorporated in narcissistic relationships and behaviors. So definitely research that. I'll put some notes in the footnotes after, but yeah. And what else is there in that?
And then another huge one is they think that they're right about everything, and then they never follow up with an apology. I can't tell you how many arguments we got into, and I would always apologize, and that was something I never heard back, was an apology, because they truly don't think that they are wrong ever.
Was there like a manipulation to make you apologize or make you feel guilty so you had to apologize?
Oh my gosh, that guilt was there all the time. All the time.
So you owe me.
Oh my gosh, absolutely. And then the last two are they panic when you try and break up with them, which is exactly what I went through. It was like he just assumed that I would be with him forever, and I would take that behavior from him. So when you stand up to a narcissist finally and say, look, I'm leaving you, I'm worthy of so much more than this, they panic, because this is all a game to them, and they are losing.
Did you find that the prior points that you mentioned escalate when you make...
Totally. Absolutely. Yeah. And then when you show them that you are really done, they lash out, and that's absolutely what I went through. And I totally kind of expected that when I did leave, it would turn very ugly. And that is exactly what happened. But the biggest thing with a narcissist, and after leaving a relationship, is standing true in that, because they will try and suck you back in. They don't want you to leave. You know, they've manipulated you. They've won.
You're their puppet.
That's, oh my gosh, exactly. So you can ask my sister, but I can't tell you how many times she would have to be like, nope, you're doing the right thing. Like, this is good for you, because, as I said, they are a master of that game, and they want to suck you back in.
So almost as if they psychologically programmed you to now rely on them, in a sense, in a very unhealthy way.
Oh, huge.
And to deprogram that if you don't have a support system, I feel like would almost be impossible.
Oh my gosh. And you know, I do think that all the time, or I don't know how some of these women or men leave a relationship. And if they don't have that support, I can absolutely see why they would go back to them.
Yeah, it's so important, especially if you were right now in a toxic relationship of any kind. It's having someone you can talk to, someone on your side, someone who has your back, whether that is a family member, whether that's a friend, a coworker, whether that's a woman's house, a shelter, or
a therapist,
a doctor, whatever that looks like, you need to have someone on your side and reaching out. Again, it's nothing to be ashamed of.
And
it's okay to feel that shame, but know that it's nothing to be ashamed of. And right. Everyone is here to help. Everyone in the field of medicine or psychiatrics, anything like that, they're here to help you. And having someone on your side is super important. So reach out, definitely reach out. Now, Nicole, I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
I like to have a few questions. What piece of advice would you offer someone who is living in a toxic relationship right now and they don't know what step to take in order to get out? What would you say to them?
I would say reach out to someone that you know who has been through this and they can give you insight, or a therapist. Oh my gosh, I will always preach therapy.
Mm-hmm.
Reach out to a therapist because they also strongly know how these people work. And it's finding those tools to realize that you are in a bad relationship and how to leave. It's hard because you don't just get up and leave these relationships. Mm-hmm. So that's why I feel like it's so, so important to reach out to people, anyone who can just give you some form of knowledge, insight, support to be able to help your way through.
Yeah, you've got to have a game plan. And if you are listening and hear therapy and think, oh, it's so expensive, know that there's ways to access therapy. There's apps, there's medical offices. I know if you are in Ontario, at least, your doctor's office has a counselor that you can go to free of charge. It's covered by OHIP, or you can pay for a privatized therapist. So there's definitely ways in which to access therapy. It doesn't have to be expensive.
Absolutely.
So going forward now, you're in a really good place right now. You're doing your thing. You're rocking your life. You're sitting across from me. You look so confident and happy. What has got you? What has been your trick to find yourself again?
Yeah. So I want to start off first with saying that it's hard because when you leave those relationships, it's not just leaving him or her. You have also lost yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And that is... oh man, that was the piece that I struggled the most with.
Yeah.
And I kept saying, like, why is this one relationship so hard? And it's because, oh my gosh, I fully lost myself. So getting to this point now, oh my gosh, I'm in such an amazing spot in my life, but it took a lot of work and effort to get here. So how I did was, again, surrounding myself with support from my family. My sister said, after I left him, she said, you know, Nick, all I had to do was just continually show you how much we loved you and your worth. And she said, we just kept having to surround you with love, because if we had told you, oh, leave, that wasn't going to work. I needed to feel that love and support. So yeah, surrounding myself with family, friends, being able to talk about everything that happened. And then another key point is therapy.
Yes,
again, I will always be on board with therapy. But a huge piece in that specifically was finally dealing with my childhood trauma. And then also recognizing that this was a cycle of me choosing poor men, emotionally unavailable men. And realizing that I will never go down that path again.
Mm-hmm.
So I have taken this almost year of being single by myself, which is something that in the past I have been so terrified to be. And it's actually been the most rewarding, just spending time on myself, listening to all of the podcasts, mm-hmm. reading all of the self-help books, finding new friends who were supportive and not toxic, because it made me realize that I had a toxic relationship, but I also had toxic friendships as well.
Yes.
So it's learning to cut out all forms of people that aren't serving you, you know, and that also comes back to your worth. And at first it was hard to cut people out, but then once you realize your worth and how much you have to offer this world, oh man, you won't settle for anything less.
Huge, right? And I love that you've mentioned that cutting people out, like, it's so important to shed your friendships too. It's okay to outgrow your friendships.
It is okay.
When you know better, do better. And that just doesn't apply to things in your life, your goals or tasks. It applies to friendships. It applies to everything. Co-workers, do better for yourself, right? Even like your diet, if you know better, if you finally figure out that eating McDonald's every day is not good, then now you get to do better, right? It's like, nourish yourself and not just the way of ending a toxic relationship.
Totally.
But ending everything that's no longer serving and reclaim that part of you which has been longing to be rediscovered.
Huge. And it's mind, body, and spirit. I found all forms have to be healed, you know?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It brings you into the wholeness of you. Absolutely. Into your highest self.
So. Absolutely.
Well, thank you so much for sitting down and being so vulnerable and sharing your story. I truly appreciate your time and for showing up for yourself today and for anyone else who may need to hear what you've been through in order to feel less alone. So thank you so much. Well,
thanks so much for having me, and I hope people take a listen and take what they can from this.
Well, thank you.
Thanks.
And there you have it. Thank you so much for tuning in today and listening to the Real People, Real Conversations podcast. I look forward to having you back here in this community. If you want more of a community within this podcast, head on over to Instagram and check us out. Search Real People, Real Conversations to tap into that platform. As well, please, please share with your friends. Give us a 5-star review so that we can continue to bring you content to help others know they are not alone. Have a great day, guys. Thank you.